Well, we bid you welcome tonight in the Saviour's name. Some of you have been asking about the wearing of the face masks. All I can tell you, because there's no recommendation from our presbytery, is what the government have said, and that is that you ought to wear the mask coming into church, going out of church. In church it's recommended, but it's no longer a requirement. So that is with yourself tonight and in the foreseeable future. We're going to sing together 510, Channel's Only Blessed Master. It's a great hymn of challenge to us. How I praise thee, precious Saviour, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channels be. May the Lord make us channels of blessing. Just as we pray tonight, I want to let you know that our sister Moira has been admitted to hospital yesterday with her ongoing problem, these stones that are giving her a lot of pain, and she has just been transferred this evening to Altnagelvin Hospital. So hopefully they'll be able to help her. Will you pray to that end? Our sister Elizabeth Connolly, she's now recovering at home from her fall. You know that she broke her leg and she's back at home, which is good. And Barbara Strong is still in the Causeway Hospital. We've been praying for Brenda Weir's cousin's wife, Jane, And the news is, and of course it was very bleak last Thursday, that she has been taken off the ventilator during the night. She is out of ICU and into a high dependency unit this morning, and the family are waiting to see the outcome and what has happened to her. And well, they need prayer. Jane needs prayer, and the family likewise. The Reverend Lyle Boyd goes into hospital tomorrow to get tested for his anaesthetic, and he should get word about his surgery that he needs. It's been a long time waiting for this also. And then just finally, as we come to seek the Lord in prayer, we do sympathise with the Reverend Roger Higginson and his family on the passing of his father this week. So let's pray together, seek the face of our God. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the place where we can meet. We have this common ground and this common desire to draw near to God, to come to His house, to meet in His presence, and to gather just now around the Saviour. Mary sat at the feet of Christ to learn from Him. And Lord, we know that when the Word of God is opened and expounded, in that sense, we're still coming to sit at the Saviour's feet to listen to His Word. And we want to choose that better part that shall never be taken away from us. We want to have a love and regard for Your Word. And so we pray for that deeper burden in our heart, that longing of soul to meet with God, to listen to what He has to say to us, to commune with Him in the Word and in the place of prayer. And here we are at our midweek service tonight as we meet a needy people, and our needs are different. We realize that we're individuals. We come from different backgrounds. We carry different burdens. But we come to the same God who is over all, and one who reigns supreme in all of our circumstances. We thank Thee that God is on the throne. And as the little chorus says, He will remember His own. We think of the trials that oppress us and the burdens that distress us. But our God will never leave us alone, because God is still on the throne. And we want that confidence instilled into our minds and hearts every day, to know that Thou art sovereign and supreme, that Thou art working out Your purposes in all of our lives. We pray that You will conform us more and more to the image of Thy dear Son. We know that this is Your mind, it is Your will. You want to bring about that great work of sanctification within us by the power and ministry of the Spirit of God. And so we pray that He will flow through us. And we know that part of Him flowing through us will be a blessing to the world around, as the opening hymn has suggested. Flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour. Make us a channel of blessing in this world. We pray that we might represent Christ well. We are His ambassadors. We are to represent Him. And so we pray that as the world looks on, they see our life, they watch our testimony, that that will tell for Thee, that there will be something about us that speaks of the Savior, that there will be that holy boldness that was seen in Peter and John. And when men looked at them, they knew that they were not schooled in the school of the prophets. They were not doctors of the law. And yet they had a holy boldness, and they put it down to the fact that those men had been with Jesus. And we know that the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we will be like Him. We will have that holy boldness. We will have that beauty of God's redemption in our very countenance. The psalmist prayed, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." And Lord, we pray that tonight. We remember those that are in need, these names that we've mentioned at Your throne of grace. You know them by name. You know their burden. You know their struggle. You know what they're passing through. You know the seriousness of some of their conditions. You know what they have to face in the next hours and days and even weeks ahead. For those that are facing surgery, we pray that You will prepare them for it and bring them through successfully. For those, Lord, that are recovering from injury, that Thou wilt strengthen them physically, that thou wilt encourage them in the Lord. And we pray that thou wilt remember those in sorrow. And we think of the Reverend Higginson tonight and his family, that thou wilt carry them through their grief and uphold them by your grace. Pray for David tonight as he comes shortly to open up the word and bring the message that you've given to him. We pray that he will feel in his own heart that confidence that comes from God, not a self-confidence, but a confidence that God gives his people in the word, that the Lord is standing with him, ordering his way, giving him words to speak. And we pray that the message will reach our hearts, take away, Lord, all the barriers, the obstructions to that happening. Let the word of God come right within us and to do us good, to permeate every part of our being. And we pray that we will be prepared even somewhat for the place of prayer as we come to seek thee in a few moments' time at the throne of grace. So hear our prayers tonight, answer our cries in the worthy and the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. We bid you welcome in the Lord's great name to the prayer meeting and Bible study, one and all. Good to have Joy with us. As you know, Joy's been here for 5 weeks, thereabouts, and she has another three, the longest period of time for a long, long time that she's been in Ulster. But it's good she's been able to spend these weeks with her mum, and just to be an encouragement coming alongside. And she's smiling tonight because Hossie is coming tomorrow, and Sarah Joy and her little one. So there'll be a family reunion here in Northern Ireland. If they had come last week, we were getting the Spanish weather last week, but we're back just to what we normally enjoy in this province. But they'll enjoy each other and their company. Do remember the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock on the Lord's Day morning. And in these days, we're still gathering on Zoom for that. Remember the worship service at 12 noon, when we continue with our meditations from Mark in the will of God. And then in the afternoon, we start our open-air meetings. The first one is in the Glebe side at 3:30. Family night is at 7. The dedication of Ada Hegarty will also take place at the Sabbath night meeting. And the prayer time is 5:30 on Zoom. Again, we acknowledge your tithes and offerings to the work of God in this house. Thank you in the Saviour's name. We want to remember the drive-in missionary rally, which is tomorrow week, down on the Half East Farm on 82 Steps Road, Donaghcloney. And we want to encourage as many as possible to show a missionary interest and get to that special missionary rally at 7:30. Go a little bit earlier, of course. There's special singing, reports from Kenya and Uganda, and the Reverend Colin Mercer is the speaker. We're praying for our own summer youth challenge from the 9th to the 13th of August, when we gather in the children each night at 7 o'clock for about the hour or so, and there'll be Bible stories and crafts sent home with them, and prizes and so forth. So I think that's all I need to say just now. We're going to sing a hymn just before David comes and speaks to us tonight. It's 411. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. Don't you want to be like him, like the Lord? May God speak to us as we sing this hymn tonight. And we'll stand this time just to change your position.
Thank you.
David McCauley is our special speaker tonight, one of our students, and this is his second and final night that he's speaking at the prayer meeting this summer. So we're going to hand it over to you, Brother David. May the Lord help you as you bring the message.
Thank you. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, can you please turn to Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 1. Once again, just want to thank Mr. Park for leading for me, for offering to lead, and also for the opportunity to speak again. So Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to verse 14, please. We're still speaking of Christ here, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We'll end our reading just there at verse 20. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we do come into your presence once again. And Lord, we are grateful for your word. We thank you for it. We thank you for the accessibility of it, that we have it in our mother tongue to read it, to understand it. But Lord, we feel the responsibility of having to preach it just now. And so, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to help me, the preacher, and to help the hearer as well. So, Lord, grant your Spirit and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't want to cover too much old ground tonight, but I think it would be helpful for us to at least recap somewhat of what we spoke of last week. The title was The Image of God, and we noted that we're made in the image of God in three particular ways. And when I say we noted three particular ways, I mean that that's how many I gave you. It doesn't mean that that is it. But we noted three ways in which we're made in his image. We have a soul, and we desire after knowledge, and we are moral creatures. And in all these things, we were marked then as different from the rest of creation. And then we went on to see some practical implications of that. First of all, that we should glorify God for all that he has put on us by making us in his image. We should glorify God first and foremost. But then we went on to see that it should bring us to treating others with dignity and value, because in reality we're all created equal in being born in the image of God. We have his image stamped upon us. So that was really what we spoke on last week in a nutshell. Tonight we want to take the message a little further and discuss what all this means for the believer in particular. See, last week when we were talking about being made in the image of God, we made the point of clarifying that all mankind is made in his image. But why then are believers different? And that's what we want to think about tonight. And to see the difference, we have to once again go right back to where it all began. We have to think again of creation and the fall. So just by way of introduction, we want to think about that now. Because something we didn't spend much time on last week was the thought that the fall, the corruption of the image, was through sin. Now, it was corrupted, but it was not destroyed. How do we know it wasn't destroyed? Well, because in Genesis 9 and in other parts of Scripture, we read of man being made in God's image again. So it was corrupted, but not destroyed. So if I was to ask you the question then, what happened at the fall to corrupt that image? No doubt some of you might think of the words of Paul in Romans 5 and verse 12, by sin, or by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So sin came in, and with it came death. And so simply put, sin corrupted the image. So we asked the question last week, does being made in the image of God save us? Well, of course, no, it doesn't, because we still need that issue of sin to be dealt with. If you know your Bible and you know the gospel, you'll know that for sin to be dealt with, then we needed a sacrifice. We needed someone to take our place, not only to take our punishment, but then present us as acceptable to God. In a word, we needed someone else's righteousness. And of course, that someone else was Jesus Christ himself. And we've seen this from our reading in Colossians chapter 1, haven't we? In verse 14, Paul says here, in whom, he's talking of Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then if you look down to verse 21 that we didn't read, but he says there, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So now we see we are forgiven, we are reconciled. That's the message of the gospel freely offered to all right there. But at the moment of our salvation, Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ saved us from our sins, something else remarkable happened at that point of salvation. We became a new creation in Christ. And the well-known verse in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, remember Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So one very significant change that happened upon that day of salvation in your life was in relation to your image. See, before our salvation, yes, we had great value. We had great dignity in being made in the image of God. But now that we've been united to Christ, forgiven and reconciled, because of that union, you are now being conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we really want to focus on tonight, the restoration of God's image in the life of the believer, and conforming us to his Son. And I really only have 2 points as we think about this. First of all, we want to think about the perfect image of God revealed in Christ. And along with that thought, we will think about how we are being conformed to that image. And then secondly, we want to think about the image restored in particular. But first of all, the image, the perfect image of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15 again of Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15, it says, Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And I want to put to you tonight, in a very real sense, if you want to get a view of what was intended for mankind before our image was corrupted and marred by sin, then look at the life of Christ. Remember the text from last week in Genesis 1 and 26. Let us, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Christ is the actual image personified, if I can put it like that. He is the image of the invisible God. It follows then that we should especially mark his life. How he lived, how he acted, what were his habits, how he treated others, and so on. Because he is the image of the invisible God. And that will give us a very good idea of how it should be with us, being made after the image of Christ, his image bearers. We mentioned last week that our being made in the image of God should direct us in 2 particular directions, upwards and then outwards. And so let's just look at those 2 points and think about them in relation to Christ. How did Christ perfectly display both these things? Well, think first of all how he displayed it upwardly. We know that Christ came in perfect obedience to the Father. Jesus Christ, his life was one that continually pointed upwards and glorifying the Father. In fact, R.A. Torrey said this concerning this particular point, and he puts it so much better than I could, so I thought it worthwhile putting the whole quote here. But R.A. Torrey said this: "The Father's glory was Jesus Christ's first and great ambition, the consuming passion of his life. For the Father's glory, he planned, prayed, acted, suffered, and died. Jesus taught that the first and great commandment is, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.' His own life, then, was the supreme manifestation of this law." What more can be said, really? Christ's whole life, everything he did, everything he accomplished was in perfect obedience to and for the glory of God the Father. And so if you want an example of how you should best glorify God the Father, being made in the image of God, then there it is, an example in Christ. But then notice outwardly as well. Remember who we're speaking of here. We're thinking of the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, who the Scripture describes as being the same in substance, equal in power and glory. That's who we're thinking of. And so he's the perfect image of the Godhead in the flesh. Now, how then did he treat the other corrupt image bearers? Or to put it another way, how did he treat mankind while he was here on earth? Because that's really what we're thinking about here, isn't it? Christ's example and how he treated others. How did Christ, manifest in the flesh, treat mankind? Well, he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to call men to repentance. We know that. But in doing so, how did he interact with the people? How did he treat mankind? How did he love the people? It has to be said that how he demonstrated his love towards mankind is a topic that you could speak for weeks on end on. And again, to mention R.A. Torrey, I was reading some of his works in preparation for this message. And in his book called What the Bible Teaches, and under the question, "Who among men does Jesus love?" he had 39 different propositions or points under that one question. 39 categories of people that Christ displayed his love towards. Now, I'm not going to start listing off all of these points, you'll be thankful, but it does give you a sense of the scope of the subject. Who did Christ love? And even R.A. Torrey has there 39 categories of people who Jesus Christ displayed his love towards. I would recommend that you get his book, R.A. Torrey's What the Bible Teaches, by the way. It's not as heavy, I would say, as some other theology books out there. So I would recommend it, and you look up this for yourself. But for the benefit of our study tonight, in all the ways that Christ interacted with mankind, what was he doing? Yes, he came to seek and to save the lost, but what else was he doing? Well, he was leaving for us an example. This is how the uncorrupted, perfect image of God looks. This is how my people should look. Now, we are not Christ. I have to put that caveat in there. Of course, we are not Christ. That means that we cannot perfectly perform the same love that Christ did to the same degree. Quite simply, because we're not perfect, we are not Christ. But still, the example is there for us to aim towards. It's there for us to follow. And Christ himself said this to his disciples in John 13, verse 15. John 13, verse 15. Christ said to his disciples, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Now, in the context of that verse, we have Christ washing the feet of his disciples. It's a display of Christ's humility. Now, you think Christ knew exactly what would become of him, and he knew what his disciples would do. Amongst those disciples, there were those who would desert him, those who would deny him, those who would even betray him. And yet, in humility, here is Christ washing their feet. So that's an example of his humility. And he says to us then, "I give you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you." You think of Peter then, someone who was there, present at that time, had his feet washed by Christ. He writes then in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 21. If you turn there, we'll read just three verses from here. 1 Peter 2, in the verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So here again, Peter is emphasizing the point that all that Christ did on earth was for our example. Now, if you read on in verse 22, you get the context of what his example was. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And so you want to see what it is to live as a true image bearer of God. Take Christ and his example. How else is Christ described? Well, one more reference we want to look at is in Matthew chapter 20 and the verse 28. Here is Christ's description of himself, Matthew 20 and 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The word there, minister, really carries the word or the idea of servitude. So you could read it there. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to be a servant. So Christ came to be a servant to mankind. And so then I began thinking then of some categories of people that Christ ministered to while he was here on earth. And no doubt you can come up with many more of them. But let's just notice some of those who Christ served. One very obvious one is that he served the sick. He healed the sick, going against sometimes the hypocritical Pharisees who showed little or no care for God's image bearers. Christ healed the sick. Think of the lepers, that highly infectious, horrible disease that it was. They were the outcast of society, but yet we have Jesus Christ taking time for them to draw alongside them, to heal them. So he had compassion on the physical conditions of others. He ministered to their physical needs. He fed those that were hungry. He mourned with those who mourned. But he also sat with sinners. He was a friend to sinners, leaving us then an example that there is a way to be a friend to those who are not saved without doing damage to your own testimony. Interestingly enough, who had a problem with him doing this? It was the Pharisees. He went out of his way to speak to those who were despised. You think of the Samaritans especially. They were hated by the Jews. But yet we find Jesus Christ taking a diversion just to sit down and talk with one of maybe the worst among them. He took his time to sit with people. Then you think of the violent, the demoniac of Gadara, who was chained up because he was so violent by nature against others and even himself. And yet Jesus Christ crosses the sea to set him free. He came to seek and to serve, or save, and he came to serve. The list could go on. All categories, all kinds of mankind, we find Jesus Christ ministering to them. Interestingly enough, what attitude do we see in stark contrast to Christ's? It wasn't really my intention to bring this up or speak on this, but it came up in our list here. Whose attitude do we see in contrast to Christ? It's the Pharisees. They repeatedly evidence their pride and their legalistic religiosity and the disregard for other people, their disdain for others who they deemed lesser value than themselves. Remember the well-known parable of the Pharisee and the publican, if you turn there to it in Luke chapter 18, in the verse 9. Here's an example we don't want to follow when we think of how we should treat the other image bearers of God. Luke 18 and the verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. You see, the Pharisees, so proud and full of themselves, that they totally missed the value that God had placed on others. Instead, they despised them, as we're told there in verse 9. And I was speaking last Sunday morning in Londonderry, and I was speaking on the bruised reed and the smoking flax. And I quoted A quote from a man named Richard Sibbs. He's a 16th century theologian. And I thought the quote would be helpful to insert here because I believe it's applicable. In this quote, we were thinking particularly of the treatment of believers to other weak or bruised believers. And Sibbs said this, "Men must not be too curious in prying into the weaknesses of others. We should labor rather to see what they have that is for eternity, to incline our hearts to love them. Some think it strength of grace to endure nothing in the weaker, whereas the strongest are readiest to bear with the infirmities of the weak." See, the Pharisees figured themselves to be more spiritual and closer to God because of the disdain they shown to others. But on the contrary, they were weak. For it's the strong believer who is able to see the weak and bear with them rather than break them. That's the example of Christ. The question then is, who are you more like? Who am I more like? Are we more like Christ and the examples given in Scripture? Are we more like those religious Pharisees who Christ himself calls hypocrites? Who are we more like? So the example's here to follow. Study the life of Christ. See his grace in dealing with others. See his humility, his willingness to serve others. See also how he reserved the harshest words for those who treated others with contempt and those who used God for their own gains instead of worshiping and glorifying God as they should. Take the money changers in the temple for an example. See him. That's really the encouragement from tonight, if you take nothing else. See Christ, see his example, study him. And that's the encouragement from Paul as well. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse 18. Where Paul says here, "But we all, with all open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, beholding Christ, as we see him, what happens?" Well, he goes on to say, "We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." The perfect image of God revealed in Jesus Christ. And so then, how are we being conformed to that image from glory to glory? I don't think we need to go much into much more detail as to what being conformed to his image really means, or how it should affect us. I think it should be obvious for us here tonight. We see Christ's example, and we as believers are being molded to that and how we glorify the Father and our love for others. We're being changed. These are the things that should matter to us most. These are the things that we see in Christ that should be evident to us in some degree or another. Growing in them. That's really the thought from the verse that we just read. Changed into the same image from glory to glory, from one degree to another, always growing more like Christ. That's what it is to be conformed to his image. And so, as those image bearers of Christ, when we look at those around us in the world who are stumped with the image of God, may God help us to see their value, to see through the sin, not to excuse the sin. Of course, we should never excuse sin, but to see through it, to see their value, a soul that needs saving. And if you, as image bearers of Christ, will not minister to that needy soul, to point them to Christ, then who will? No one in the world is going to do that. We, image bearers of Christ, should take his example to seek and see those saved and won for Christ. So, we have seen the perfect image of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Now, we want to think about the image restored. I want to focus in on something that I mentioned just a few times last week, but I never really explained much of what I meant by it. But I don't want to miss it, because here, I believe, is the believer's greatest hope and the believer's greatest joy. Now, you think of the joys that come our way as believers, things that should legitimately bring joy to our lives, sins forgiven. That should surely bring joy to the believer's heart. We are forgiven. We are reconciled to God, as we've seen. Going to heaven when we die should give us joy. The realization that God is in control and sovereign over all circumstances should bring us great joy as believers, especially through difficult times. But I ask you the question, what's the greatest joy for the believer? Well, turn to 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 2. For John writes here, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." We shall be like him. See, God has started a work in you since the day of your conversion to change you to the image of Christ from glory to glory for the ultimate end that one day you're going to be just like him. That's the truth of the verse. Full redemption, complete, absolute restoration. We will be like Christ. Now, if you think about it, this was really the intention of Christ during his earthly ministry. What do I mean? Well, think of it. Think of what he was doing in healing the sick, restoring health, showing his authority and being able to reverse the effects of the fall. Think of his authority over his creation, calming the storm, his authority in restoring order, peace to creation. Think of what he was doing in raising the dead. Think of Lazarus. Think of Jairus' daughter. His authority in being able to reverse the curse of the fall and physical death. Think of his own death, how he rose again in resurrection, his authority to reverse the curse of the fall, and transforming our spiritually dead souls to life again, restoring life. But he's not done. He's not finished with us yet. Think now of how he will come again to receive us to himself at the second coming. When he brings in the new heavens and the new earth, a restored creation, and most of all, our image restored. We shall be like him, for then we shall see him as he is. No more beholding as in a glass darkly, no more obscurity. We shall see him and be like him. So do you see the importance, how important it is to see yourself in this light? You might be sitting here in the flesh or sitting at home listening to this, wherever you might be. You're in the body, you're in time. But believer, spiritually speaking, there's a work going on inside of you that's changing you from belonging to this world, and it's preparing you for the next. You're being changed into the image of Christ. Is that an obvious reality in you today? If you remember last week, I told you that was my intention, that I wanted to present the topic in such a way that we can see how it might affect our lives, practically speaking, right now, today. And I hope that I've been able to do that, and that there's something for each of us to take away from this. Most of all, in the hope that it brings to the believer. We will see him as he is. We will be like him. It is true that there is an identity crisis in the world today, and it's really no wonder when people in prominent positions, like we mentioned last week, is telling us that we have really no more value than a baboon or a grain of sand. It's any wonder that people are struggling to see their worth in the world today. People are on a search to discover themselves, to know why they have value, and we should let them know why they do, ultimately with the aim to present Christ to them. Above all others, we as believers have more reason to treat men and women with value and dignity. When you read passages like Romans chapter 12, a great practical passage, a real challenge to read. But when you read passages like that and you get the commands, put others first, bless those who curse you, condescend to men of low estate. Why or how can we do that? It's because we look past the physical and we view them in the spiritual. They're made in the image of God. It gets to the point of seeing them not just as people, but as souls. Souls that need saving, and that need goes beyond whether they're our friends or if they're our enemies. You see, the idea of value and being made in the image of God is a truth. It's an absolute truth, and it's not built on feelings. So many implications that you could draw from this, and it's really hard to know where to finish. You know, last week I never spoke about abortion. It was my intention to do so, but for whatever reason I didn't. But I was glad to hear you praying about it anyway, because it becomes obvious, doesn't it? It's clear. Why we care so much about that little baby in the womb is because we view it in a far deeper light than just biological matter. It's a soul that is fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And that's why, among other reasons, we are outraged at the murder. So many implications. But I trust, as we come to the end of this study, if nothing else, the study over the last couple of weeks has sparked an interest into the topic of the image of God in some ways that maybe you've never thought of before. I know it's been a challenge and a blessing to me to think over these things, maybe even more so than for yourselves. But I do hope you'll go much further into this study and really get to know what it is to live with these truths in mind and let them then impact your own life and how you live alongside other image bearers of God. So I'll leave it there. Thank you once again for your attention, and we'll ask Mr. Park to come and lead the service. Thanks.
Thank you, David. We'll just have a wee word of prayer before we mention some matters to you. Our Father, we thank thee for answering prayer, helping David. We thank you for the grace that triumphs in us, that makes us more conformable to Christ. And we just pray tonight that the word will take effect and that the reality of that will be seen. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, in this congregation, for the Savior's sake. Amen. We want you to remember the church in all its aspects and church life and the work that we're seeking to do, even over the summertime, and continue to pray for the missionaries and for the National Health Service, thinking of the sick and the needy. The list here changes a little bit from week to week or every few weeks, but these are the names that we are remembering before the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray tonight for the children's work and the special effort that will be made from the 9th to the 13th of August, and the open air ministry now every Sunday afternoon in the month of August. We've also, pardon me, asked you to pray for the Panker and the Indian Church and those difficulties that they face continually that we don't in this land. And we've been remembering the monsoon time and the people that are dying and so many that need to be reached really with the gospel. And then over a little distance away in Nepal, the distribution of the food. So these are some of the things we want you to remember. We're now going to bow together at the throne of grace, just one after the other, in the little time that remains. Let's seek the Lord, call upon his name. Just going to leave it open now for each one to take part. We're seeking the Lord together, if it's possible to speak out so that most of us can hear. And we'll pray with you. We will lend our amen to your prayer. And thus it is that volume going up to the Lord, to his throne of grace. Thank you.
Salvation. We thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for thy word to our hearts tonight. We pray, Lord, that we will be in constant remembrance, Lord, of even the truth of what has been shared tonight, Lord. Even that we would be image bearers, Lord, before a wicked world, Lord. We just pray that we will even look more and more to Christ, and Lord, will even that beauty, Lord, that's found in him will be found in us. We just pray, Lord, for even our country, as David has mentioned about, even these laws and these things are coming in about abortion. We just pray, Lord, against it. We pray, Lord, that you will even raise up a standard against this sin that does even prevail at this time. We just pray, Lord, you'll even bless those that are in government, Lord. We pray that you'll give them even the courage to stand, even take a stand before others, even at this time. Just thank you, Lord, for what we have in thee. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for each one of us. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue to help us each day to walk before thee. We pray, Lord, for those that are lost in their sins. We think especially of those that are connected to this church, Lord, and have been prayed for so many times, even amongst the church family. Lord, you know each one of them by name. We pray even tonight again, Lord, that you will speak to their hearts and draw them with the cords of thy love unto a loving Saviour, and Lord, save them by thy love and thy grace. We just pray, Lord, that you will bless those who are sick this time. We thank especially of Moira. We just pray, Lord, that even you'll bless her at this time. Lord, that she'll be very conscious of her Saviour round about her. And just pray, Lord, even that as she's in hospital, Lord, that there'll be a solution found to her situation. We just pray for others, Lord, that are even going through trials and troubles, some of them that we know about and some of them that we don't. We just pray, Lord, that you'll bless each family within the church, and Lord, even unite families in Christ. We just pray, Lord, for our students. We thank you for David and for even the word that he brought tonight. We thank you for him. We pray, Lord, that you'll lead him and guide him. We thank you for Johnny and Greg as well. We just pray, Lord, you'll keep your good hand in them. We thank you, Lord, for those that you've put into their hearts, Lord, to serve thee. And just pray, Lord, that you'll honour and bless even that. We think of the Pankhurst tonight as well, and bless and undertake the situation there. And then just pray you'll bless the rest of this time of prayer. Abide with us, Lord. We pray, Lord, for thy Holy Spirit to dwell amongst us, to guide us, even in what we would pray for. Bless us, Lord, and do us good. And we'll be careful to give thee all the praise, the honour and the glory. For it's in thy name we ask.
That which would cause us to despair. Yet we find thee that we have the the answer in Christ. We thank thee for the answer of the gospel in the lives of men and women. We thank thee that there is that transforming, the power of the gospel that can be experienced in the lives who know and trust thee. Lord, we do remember those who have those particular needs tonight in their own congregation. We pray for them. We pray that they will be very conscious of the Lord's nearness. We think of Moira. We pray that they'll be with her there, even in the hospital. And how perfect that which concerns her. And may she be conscious of thy presence. May she be even conscious of the prayers of the people of God. Remember Artistra, that was no burning. And we pray, Lord, that thou will be with her. Father in heaven, we pray that thou will give her comfort even in these days. We think of families that mourn. We remember the Higginson family. We pray that thou will be with thy servant even in the time of sorrow. Remember the Higginson family here in this time. And Lord, we pray that the loss of their dear mother, that they will even be brought to realize that there is a God with whom they have to do, and that they will come to rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven, trust in the Savior, the one who died for them. So, Father in heaven, we pray that you bless the preaching of thy word in the Lord's day. We thank you for studies of thy word, even as we come to again consider the truth as thy servant, but take up the word of God. We pray that every part of thy know the power and unction of the Holy Spirit, that as he ministers thy word, we pray that he be very conscious of the Lord's help in the preaching of thy word. As this house is open for the declaration of the gospel of Christ, we pray that it will be a city set upon a hill. Amen. It will be a beacon of a witness and a testimony in the midst of all the decay that is around us, that Jesus saved, and that there is a gospel to be declared. There is a Savior who died on the cross. There is redemption through his blood. So bless this fellowship. We thank thee for each one who associates with the testimony here. We pray that you'll continue to bless us in every aspect of the work of God. Father in heaven, may it continue to be the case that it will be said of Hebron as it was said of the church of Thessalonica, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. We pray these things in the Savior's name.
Amen. Jonathan and Greg. with them in their studies, and at this time over the summer as they bring your word week by week, that you will help them, that you will fill them with your spirit. And we pray that each one of them, Lord, will be guided us to where you would have them to go and where you would have them to be in their lives. And for Brother Simon as well, and we pray that as he has finished his studies now, that you will even lead him and guide him to where you would have him to be. Lord, we remember our brother, the tanker, as well tonight. We thank you for him and for his association with us. We pray that as he suffers things that we do not have to suffer, as he through things that we only so far have to read about, we pray that you will protect him, that you will give him great courage and give him great wisdom. We pray that we will see the church there thriving and that we will see it growing and that you will bless the work there in India and those in Pakistan and those in other places where the gospel is under persecution. We remember our missionaries that have left this church. We think of our sister Morgan, say that bless her there in Uganda, and the rest of the missionaries and the staff there in that school. We pray that they will know the help of God at this time. We pray that that school will be a beacon of the gospel life and the needs that live around it. The children that are coming. Think of Alex and Vanessa, down stream, Lord. We thank you for each remembrance we have of them. They are there, they will know that the blessing of God and the help of God to be able to live in that town and as they bring the gospel to that lady there, and it will be a fruitful one that will see many the slain of the Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll not forget us here, people. As we meet in your house, especially Lord's Day, that you will be with us, that you will come and meet with each one of us, that we will know the presence of God, very near, of our pastor. We pray that you will bless him in study, that you will give him a word and season for each of our hearts. And we pray that each one of us will come here ready to hear and to do the word of God. We pray for those who are unsaved that they will meet with us, Lord. Family members to meet with us as family members who are prayed for often. We pray that you will answer the prayers of mothers and fathers, of grannies and grannies, of brothers and sisters. We pray that there will be a great and sweep of those who are unseen and will step into the kingdom of God. Remember our young people. Thank you for you. We pray that you will be with them at this time of holiday. We're not meeting together at present, and we pray that you will meet with them, you will keep them from the things of the world. We pray for those who need a special touch from you this time, that you will be near them. But the brother Aaron down there, we pray that you will be near to him, and you will continue to bless his studies and his work there. And we pray that even his family will be encouraged at this time, and the hope and the nearness of the Savior at this time. So Lord, just be with us and bless us in the rest of this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
church at this time, Lord, even on the Sabbath day. We pray that you would bless, Lord. We pray that you would pour out your blessing from on high, Lord, that we would know your presence, Lord, that this building would know the presence of Christ filling it in every aspect. And Lord, as the preaching of thy word would go forth, we do pray that precious souls, Lord, who are also made in the image of Christ, would hear the gospel, Lord, and would come to know thee as their Savior. Lord, we do pray for those in our families who are outside of Christ, Lord. We do pray for our family members who we love to see saved. Lord, we pray for Philip, Lord, speak to him at this time. Lord, we pray for Timmy as well, Lord, speak to these young men. Lord, we do pray that while the voice of man may not speak, the voice of God, Lord, your still speaking voice would speak right into their heart, Lord, that they might realize their need of Christ and turn to him for salvation. And Lord, we pray for the hand of voice as well as speak to them. And Lord, might they come to know thee as their own personal Savior. And Lord, we do pray for the work that will go on in this church in the incoming month. Lord, we pray for the challenge and that week of meetings. Lord, bring in many young lives, Lord. We pray, bring in many boys and girls and young people into this building, Lord, that they might hear of Christ. And Lord, we pray especially you would save souls. Lord, we long to see young people reinvigorated into the church. Lord, we pray for those who would come that they might know Christ and to know his life eternal. Lord, we do pray for even the workers that would work as well there with the children. Lord, give each and every one of us that burden and that desire to see them saved, Lord. Help us to be faithful unto thee, and Lord, to be faithful unto thy cause. So Lord, we do pray, be with us, and continue with this time, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, it is an amazing wonder and truth that there is an ear bent over this gathering listening to us, the ear of God. And we thank thee that God not only listens to what we have to say, but he answers prayer. And he does so exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We do remember Moira in these days. We pray that the hospital will be able to get to the bottom of her problem and give the treatment that's necessary to bring her back to health and strength. So guide the doctors and nurses. We pray for this woman, Jane. Lord, again, you know the severity of her condition, and yet you've spared her life. Last Thursday, things seemed so bleak, and you brought her through another week, and she's out of intensive care. She's off the ventilator, but we know she's a long way to go. We pray for an anxious family that are watching on, that thou wilt even uphold them by your grace. Remember Barbara in hospital, touch her, Lord, and mend her body. As Elizabeth recovers at home, may she know your touch. And we thank thee for the little improvement with Martha, and may that continue. Put your healing hand upon her and take away, Lord, the pain and distress that she's in. Think of James Stevenson, and may your healing touch be upon his body also. Remember Jose and Sarah Joy and the children as they travel tomorrow. You know, all the red tape and the difficulties getting here to Northern Ireland from Spain. But we pray that thou will be with them in the journey, every step of the way. And we pray that thou will bless this church, this people, this representation of families here in this meeting house tonight. Lord, we pray that you'll look upon us in your mercy and in your favor, and that you will answer our prayers, that you will ease our burdens, that you will stand with us in the cause of Christ, that you will go with us every day in the work that we seek to do for thee. And may revival come. We need revival. We're thinking of that text in Daily Light this morning. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down. Do it, Lord, in our day and generation. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Hear and answer these our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen. Coming to the closing hymn, and just before we sing it, I have to congratulate Sean and Anne because they have become members of a very elite group in the past week. That's grandparents. And we were just delighted to get that news of Sandy and Naomi having a little girl. And we trust that the blessing of God will be upon the family. Good to hear of the Lord blessing in these ways. And we know that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So congratulations to both of you and your family. There's a beautiful hymn that reminds us of the one that we have in glory, our dear Saviour, the great high priest. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. And that's what's been happening tonight in this place as we have prayed. One in the glory at the right hand of the Father, and he's been living for us and pleading for us, interceding. And here we are, engraven in his hands, as the second verse reminds us, and written in his heart. Let's sing it with joy as we close the meeting tonight. Separate us now with the blessing of the triune God. We thank thee for your presence. We thank you for help tonight in the ministry of the word and in the place of prayer. We just acknowledge this in closing. We say to God with the glory, travel with us now to our homes. Keep us in the center of your will and prepare us for the Sabbath day. Over the next couple of days, come down and bless the congregation, bless students that may be preaching elsewhere, some of our men elsewhere. Lord, be with them in the ministry of the word. Make it a good day, a high day, a blessed day when God comes down our souls to greet and glory crowns the mercy seat for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Thank you.